Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome, Thrivers, here to our Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate. I am solo today. If you don't know me, I am an international marriage expert and mindset expert, and my partner, Mark Johnston, is out today, and so you have me. So welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Thriving Marriage. If you're watching the podcast as I stream it live into the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, I would love to see your comments and hear how I can be of best service to you today. So if you're new to the podcast, we always recommend that you go back and listen to some of the earlier podcasts and really acquaint yourself with our PATH method that's radically different than what other people and therapists and well-meaning people are saying out there, but how this is radically different. And how you can apply the PATH method to your relationship to help save it from divorce, separation, affairs, and all of that. So welcome today. We're going to be talking about how to let go of pain and heal. I've been hearing from a lot of comments from our audience here on the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, as well as YouTube followers, as well as clients, as well as students of our courses, that it's really challenging to let go of the pain of the past. And so raise your hand if that feels like you, right? Or, you know, leave a comment here. Let me know what you might be struggling with, what you might be holding on to. I'll often hear things like, you know, my husband had this affair 6 months ago. He says he's not going to do that again, but I just can't let it go. I just keep to like obsessing about what happened. I keep like reliving the details over and over and over in my mind. So how do I let go of this? How do I let go of this pain and this intense sorrow or fear that I'm experiencing right now? How do I really get to that place where I can heal? And maybe you're in a place right now where your spouse doesn't want to change. They don't want to work on things with you, and you still want to know how to heal and move forward. So if that is you, then this podcast is for you, and we'll dive into that in just a minute. But before we get to that, we're going to do our client win of the week. Every week, we want to share with wins. And even as you're listening to this, whether you're a client, a student, or just someone that's in our audience wanting to work on saving their marriage, I want you to think about what's one win that you've had in the past week. Even if it's something really, really small, like I got out of bed today and I got dressed, or, you know, I spent some time in prayer and meditation, or, you know, I usually react this way and this time I didn't. I chose to be more calm and strive to understand my spouse. So if you have wins, I'd love to hear them or see them in the comments. This one comes from Stacy with permission. She says, "Hi everyone. I have not posted in a while, or had a 121 with Mark either. But I wanted to give everyone an update and a little bit of hope and encouragement to hang on in there and stay positive. Me and my husband have been back together for about 7 months after almost 1.5 year split. It has not been an easy road, and there were many times when I had my darkest days of my life and times I felt like giving up. Giving up and just moving on because I thought it would be the most painless option than to keep trying and feeling rejected and like I was getting nowhere. But with the help and support and coaching and many other things I've done, I persevered and it paid off. Things aren't perfect. I don't feel the same way as I used to after so much has happened over this time, but I hope we will get there. We are both trying and it's lovely. Today we've just applied for a mortgage on our new house, which when completed, we will be moving back in together permanently. Currently, my husband is still living in his rental, but stays at home at least 2 nights per week. We didn't see the point in moving back and then moving again, so waited to find a new house to upsize and go from there. My husband said that he wouldn't be where we are now without all that I've done. I never would have been able to deal with the things the way I did without High Thrive Coaching. Thank you, Mark and Heather, with a big, beautiful, juicy heart. So let's dive in here and dissect a little bit what Stacy's talking about, right? She wants to give hope and encouragement that now she and her husband are back together for 7 months. So not just 7 days or 7 hours or 7 weeks, right? But 7 months after an almost 1.5 year split. And now they are working through things. It isn't perfect, but she says it's lovely. And they're really working to get to this house that they want to have together so that they can live together permanently. And that he says he wouldn't be here without all the things that she did. And she says she wouldn't be able to deal with those things without this method that we teach here at High Thrive Coaching. And so going from the place where they were split apart for 1.5 years, going through all of the path process, right? Milestone by milestone, making sure that we helped her solve problems in order so that her efforts didn't backfire. And so that she had the strength and the energy to do this, because it is kind of like climbing Mount Everest, right? Especially if your spouse is not willing to do it with you, which is most of you here, and you're not alone. And so it's really important that as our clients are going through this, that they have all the steps and the support and resources to know how to go through this and have the energy and the guidance to guide them on, you know, how to take care of themselves, how to make sure that their energy is strong, how to make sure that they have every step along the way to know what to do, how to handle their spouse saying, you know, well, I just want to go be with this other person, or this has been great, I'm glad that we can open up communication now, I'm glad that we have this respect, but I just don't really have any love for you, the passion's gone, so it's over, right? All those different things come up along the journey. And so Stacy's definitely done the work here, and we're so proud of her and grateful that we're able to be part of her journey and guiding through her through each of those different challenging situations that come up when you are restoring your marriage. So awesome job, Stacy. Everyone give her a big applause. It's really, really awesome. And no matter where you are in your journey, I hope that you have some hope and inspiration from what other people just like you are doing. I gotta say, after we've been doing this now for six and a half years, maybe almost seven, we have seen miracles happen. And ordinary people just like you, ordinary couples with the biggest challenges, the biggest struggles just like you, are doing the miraculous. And if they can do it, you can do it. And the change and the transformation of going in from so much pain and so much fear, so much tension, so much disrespect, you know, so many hurtful, destructive behaviors going on, and let alone just the lack of peace that most people are feeling, starting in that place and then going through this process and getting to a place where they feel empowered, they feel whole, they feel at peace about things, and there's just a calm and a serenity, as well as that like empowerment of knowing I can do hard things, and not only hard things, but I can make the life that I really want come about, is incredible. And so we're so grateful and humbled and honored to be able to be part of that journey. So let's bring it home to you guys, and let's talk about some of that pain and some of that fear, where that really, really comes from. And so oftentimes when someone hurts us, when someone betrays us, when someone takes all of that vulnerability that we put out there, you know, we really opened ourselves up to them and they rejected us, then what we tend to do is go into those animalistic instincts of survival. And we go into the fight, flight, or freeze mode to protect ourselves. But what happens when we're operating in the fight, flight, or freeze mode is that our brains shut off almost completely the higher reasoning part of our mind, and it just turns on the animalistic part of our mind. And that's why we'll often say, I don't even know why I did what I did. Like, that wasn't like me at all. And you're right, it wasn't like you at all. You were acting like an animal, right? And so what we need to learn how to do is shift out of that instinctual self-preservation mode and show our mind and our body, our heart and our mind, our entire being, our soul, that it's okay, it's safe, and that we can allow these things to heal, so that then we can go to the process of that, restoring that trust again in ourselves and eventually trust again in our spouse, if the journey leads us in that direction or not, right? So one of the most important things to know is that sometimes when we're wanting something, like we want to heal, we want to make our relationship better, we want our spouse to stop the affair, we want them to come back, that sometimes we choke the life out of the things that we want the most, right? So my daughter Naomi just turned 8 yesterday, was her birthday, and she's a really good example of this exact principle. So a few years ago, while we were at a friend's house, they brought out a really cute little white and black baby bunny. And Naomi is a total critter lover. And she just loves everything, that from snakes to worms, ants, you know, tarantulas. She brought a tarantula into our home last October when they were out here in Colorado, much to my dismay. But she's always got some little critter around, or is looking, you know, at the ants crawling in the dirt and just totally fascinated by all these things, right? So she was immediately obsessed about this new little rabbit. And the bunny, you know, being a bunny, was content to let Naomi hold it for a few minutes, but then it wanted to go and wanted to hop around and go do other bunny things, right? That was really not cool to Naomi. She just wanted to hold on to this bunny and make it love her, right? So she held on to it tighter and tighter and tighter, just refusing to let it go. And I started to worry that she was going to squeeze the life out of this poor creature. She just said, you know, I just love it so much. And so I knelt down and I showed her that if she loves this bunny, if she loves these animals, then to let it go. If she really loves it, then she needs to let it go. And that way the bunny will know that it's safe with her, and then it will want to come back to her. And so she did that and realized that it was a lot better than trying to hold on to it so tightly that you might just choke the life out of that poor thing, right? So how many times in life are we like that, right? We want something so badly, we hold on to it so tightly that we just squeeze the life out of it, right? So what are you desperately wanting? Take a few heartbeats, take a few breaths, and really feel into that. What are you wanting? Does it sound like this? I want my marriage to work. I want my kids to be raised in a home with both parents. I want to figure out who I really am. I want to feel peace. I want them to come back to me, right? I want to feel safe. I want to feel valued. I want to feel understood. I want to feel connected. I want to feel loved. I want to feel supported. I don't want to be alone. I want money. I want more money. I want more opportunities. I want a new job, right? I want you to be my friend. I want you to be in love with me. I want this certain body. I want this certain thing in my life. I want to be healthy again. What are the things that you're really wanting the most? Things that you're like desperately wanting. Can you feel the tension that we hold inside ourselves when we become desperate about the things that we're wanting, the things that we really desire? Can you feel that like tension and that almost, you know, that's that desperation? So when you're thinking about that thing that you really, really want, I really want to get out of pain. I really want to not have this fear in me anymore. I really want to let this go, right? What is that tension that's in that desire? Like if we were to take it and put it under a microscope, which I do sometimes with my kids because we do unschooling, it's a form of homeschooling, but we have a really good microscope and we'll put things under there to see them in a different way, right? And get that perspective. So if we were to put your tension under a microscope and dissect it and really examine it from an outside perspective, what do you think we would find? Well, we'd find that the root emotion of this desperate wanting something, of wanting to heal, of wanting to let go, of wanting your spouse to come back, is fear. Fear that it isn't going to work, fear that we won't have enough, fear that good things won't last long enough, right? Fear that I'm not good enough, fear that I'm not worthy, fear that I'll be rejected, that the people I love will abandon me, right? Fear I might miss out. We even have a saying for that one, right? FOMO, like the fear of missing out. I fear that everyone else has it together and there's something wrong with me. Fear that God or the universe or life won't really be there for me. It won't really deliver for me. It maybe works out for other people, but not for me. Well, for me, I'm just going to be really real and share with you guys. When I was in that same kind of a place and I was feeling this exact same kind of fear and this desperate wanting to heal, wanting things to go right, and wanting to let go of pain and this desperation. So for me, that desperate wanting was to save my own life and the life of my own unborn baby. So if you've been following me for a while, you may already know, but those who are new, for me, I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 29. And we already had Ben and I, my husband, we've been married almost 16 years. We had 5 beautiful children at that time, and I was pregnant with our 6th baby. And so when I was about 10 weeks pregnant, I noticed a lump on the top part of my left breast. And after going to my midwife, she had it examined and biopsied, and luckily she took it seriously. But I'll never forget the day that I got the phone call several days after the biopsy. I was on the back porch of our home in Bayfield, Colorado, which is beautiful southern Colorado, out in the pine forest. And my kids are out playing in the forest, in our yard there. And I was on the back porch and she told me, "Heather, it's cancer." And she confirmed it was not just cancer, we learned, but it was aggressive, hormone sensitive cancer. And then we found out after just a few more days that this cancer that was hormone sensitive was also spread to my lymph nodes. So therefore it was already at least stage 3. Because I was pregnant, I didn't want to do all the testing and all the exams to find out, how far it had gone and all those different things, because I wanted to protect the baby. But these hormones that were feeding and nourishing this baby, this life within me, were at the same hormones that were feeding and growing the cancer. And so I was told by numerous doctors, went to several different doctors, got many different opinions, that I needed to abort the baby to save my own life, that I needed to end this pregnancy. But I knew in my heart that was not something I could do, and that was not the path that I was going to take. And I knew that even if that saved my life, that I would live with pain and regret about that decision for the rest of my life, and it wouldn't be worth it. And I told them that I would rather die than take the life of my baby. So my desperate wanting here was to save her and to save myself. Though the doctors told me I was risking my life and that it wouldn't end well, that they'd seen this happen before and that I was being foolish and that I needed to think about my 5 children that I had. And I heard this from many other family members and friends and even church leaders. And I just knew there was that quiet, still part of my soul that knew what was the right path for me. And so you may be hearing these things as well, that you're being foolish holding on to your relationship, or you should just let go, or you should have more self-respect and not be with someone that treats you that way. And you may be hearing all these different voices from your friends, from your family, definitely from our culture and our media and all these things. You may even be hearing it from certain experts, like your counselor or your pastor, maybe saying, you need to let this go. You need to move on. You need to get a divorce. There's nothing you can do if they won't work on it with you. But there's something inside of you that's saying, I need to do this, because if I don't, I'm going to live the rest of my life with regret, or I'm going to wonder, what if, right? And so something inside of you is saying, I need to do something about this, because if I don't, then I'm not listening to myself. And there's something in my soul that says, this is the path for me, even if it doesn't make sense or even if it's hard. So that's where I was listening to that part of me that just knew truth and said, I had to do this. I have to do this. And so if you're there, that's what we're here to help you with. So what I did then is I did what I'd done all my life. The thing that had worked for me the best is kind of rolling up my sleeves, you know, putting my faith in God. And I got into massive action, right, to get the outcome I intended. Typically, when I want something, I just work really hard and hope for the best, right? But underneath the action that I was taking, the chemo, even my professions of having faith in God, there was still an incredible amount of fear there. Fear that was not allowing me to let go of the outcome, to let go of pain that I had been holding on to for years because I didn't feel safe and I didn't feel good enough. And that fear, underneath all of my trying to be strong and trying to do what was right, trying to be positive, trying to have faith, it was gut-wrenching and it was real. I would be up late at night, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, and wondering, what if I don't make it? What if my baby doesn't make it? You know, what if this is the end of my life? And I knew that this fear that I had, I knew logically that it was the assassin to my desire. I knew that it was going to destroy our chances. I wanted to have just complete faith, but I didn't know how. And I didn't know how to let go. I didn't know how to get past the fear. I didn't know how to get past the pain that I was feeling. Can you relate to that? So sometimes life gives us the gift of having nothing left. Nothing left. No energy, no physical energy, no mental energy, no emotional energy, no strength, no more distractions to keep us from looking at what is really there. No more pride and no more pretending, right? And that is when we see life for what it really is. Like I said, I didn't sleep very well during this time at all. And one night I was up at 3 in the morning and I was going through chemotherapy from an oncologist that was showing us how it could be possible to save both my life and the baby. And this chemo caused zinging sensations to like shoot up and down my spine. Okay. So I'm laying at night. It wasn't painful, but it was very distracting. It kind of feels like a little electricity going zing, 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 up and down in the middle of the night. And so I'm laying there wanting to ignore this, knowing how tired I am, knowing how much we still have to deal with the 5 kids and all these appointments and all the travel and the fear and my husband's business and all these things. And I'm laying there feeling these sensations shooting up and down my spine, wishing I could go back to sleep. I've got one hand on my pregnant belly. My head is bald. And I remember the cold, chilly air because when you have no hair, as some of you may know, you lose a lot of heat. And I realized as I was laying there that I've been living with fear, with a level of this desperation to prove myself worthy of love all my life. All my life, since the earliest memories I have, and I've had a pretty dang good life, which makes it silly to think about that this is what's been going on, but all my life, I never felt like I was really good enough, and that I would try really, really, really hard to be worthy of love, and I would try really, really hard to make things go right, but they wouldn't go right because it was never enough, because ultimately at the end of the day, I wasn't good enough. And so this fear, like this desperation there to prove myself, had been with me. And that was the same fear that I was feeling now. It's just that now I was finally really looking at it, and it was amplified because of the situations we were going through, right? So instead of embracing the truth, then, you know, that I was good enough, that I am deserving of love, that I don't need to do or prove anything to be worthy of it, that I'm good enough just as I am. Feeling and really feeling and knowing with every fiber of my being, when I finally accepted that, when I finally stepped into that, that gave me a peace that is indescribable. And I knew that I was going to be okay no matter what happened. Whether my baby lived or not, whether I lived or not, it was going to be all right. And that very first time when I was getting chemotherapy, very first one, I was, I think, 14 or 16 weeks pregnant at that time. And the chemotherapy that I got was a red, like bright red blood color. And it's called Adriamycin. It comes from the Adriatic Sea. And it's like this, if I understand it correctly, it's like a fungus or something that grows along the Adriatic Sea only there. And it's extremely potent for killing the rapidly reproducing cells. But fortunately, it's blocked by the placenta. At least that's what the doctor told me. But I remember sitting there in the chair in the chemotherapy room and feeling pretty out of place because I was probably the youngest person there. And I was probably the only pregnant person there. And my husband was by my side and they came to hook it up and they brought this bag of this red, red chemotherapy liquid. And they hooked it up to my IV and I watched as it came down the line of this red liquid and going down into my veins and just feeling this intensity of both fear and knowing that I had to let it go. And I remember feeling a little bit like the mother of Moses. I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with that story, right? And how she had to surrender her baby, like I was surrendering my baby, to a higher power. And I had to let it go fully. And I remember feeling like what it must have been to put that baby on the water. And I know her daughter Miriam did that, right? She gave it to Miriam, and Miriam put the baby in the basket and put it on the Nile River. And the Nile River, as we know, was a place of incredible danger. There were crocodiles, there were boats, there were fishing, there was fishing going on, there were currents, there were probably rapids, and there were really dangerous people that were killing these children. And she knew that to save her life, she had to let this baby go and put it entirely into the hands of God. And I felt that that was the only thing I could do to feel any measure of that peace that I wanted. And so imagine putting my own baby into his hands and into the hands of a higher power and letting go and knowing that this was bigger than me. I did not have the power on my own to heal this, to get the outcome that I wanted. All of my intentions and massive action and everything I was doing to try to do it right still wasn't enough. And I think that that is often the case in these challenges that we face in our lives, is that it's bigger than us. And so we have to turn it over to something that's bigger. And whatever that looks like for you, it is putting your trust into that. For me, it's God. For you, it might look like something else, but trusting and knowing that there is a bigger power orchestrating all of these things. And that when we finally surrender and just let go and know that it's going to be okay no matter what, that is when that true peace and healing can occur for us. So if that speaks to your heart, if that speaks to your mind about taking the thing that you want the most right now, and all of your fear and all of your tension and all of your desire to protect yourself, and letting it go into the hands of a higher power, into the hands of infinite love that lies deep within each of us. It lives in me. It lives in you. It lives within all of us. And just turning it over so that you can let it go. And when you let it go, you experience that incredible amount of peace. You don't have to experience the end of your life to find that. It's a choice. And so what I encourage anyone here to do that is seeking how to find real healing and real peace from the pain that you might be going through is to take some time in quiet and in silence to seek it and to find it. The scripture in the New Testament says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that is a true principle, regardless of religion or belief or anything like that. But when we ask for these things to that higher power, to that source, then we receive the answer. But it does not come when we continue to spiral in that cycle of all the patterns we're in, of all the cycles of our program thoughts, right? By the time we're 35 years old, neuroscience says that we are 95% hardwired programs that do not change unless we become conscious of them. And we're operating from a system that we built up over time to protect ourselves. Its number one job is to protect ourselves. But so many times those hardwired programs, those habitual thoughts, the way that we tend to just knee-jerk react about things and people and situations, you know, we've built up this whole internal program and we're just kind of running on autopilot. Until we become really aware of what we're doing, why we're thinking this way, why we're feeling this way, and why we keep getting the same result, it will continue to perpetuate. And it's almost like you can just take your past and you can just dump it right on top of your future because you aren't evolving from that program. But the beautiful thing is that we can become aware of what we're really thinking and feeling and creating and experiencing. And when we become aware of those things, then we have the ability to change them. So taking that time in quiet and in silence to really seek that infinite love, that deep love that lives within all of us, that connects all of us, you will find it. So take time to listen and really listen. Quiet all the chatter. Quiet that program that's been going on inside of you for years and years and years. Listen to that inner part of you, that deeper eternal part of you that knows truth, that knows that you are loved, you are good enough, you are worthy, and you are deserving. As you find that infinite peace, your fear will flee from you, the pain will heal, and you will find that you can radically surrender your need to force the things that you want the most. And there will be no force. It's like going into the Nile River and you go with the flow and you let go and you find that there is so much peace there and it turns out way, way better than if you try to do it on your own. And that, as you let go, you know, you really let go, you make room inside yourself and in your life to receive the things that you're wanting. Like I said, when I stop trying to control everything, if we're like a little control freak, right? And I trust that inner part of me that knows truth and that infinite love that's there for each of us, then the outcome is so much better than if I try to do it on my own. It's so much better. All these synchronicities come about. And the way I look at things change. The way that I approach my husband in our conversation is not the same. He feels the difference and he responds in a different way, which then leads us to a different outcome. And that is the power and the beauty that we all have. I encourage you to test this out, right, for yourself and see for yourself if it isn't true, because that's the only way you're going to know. I can try to articulate what this process is in the best way that I can, or the best way that I know how right now. But it's something that you have to step through that door yourself. And that is something that we help our clients do when they're feeling really stuck, is how do I let go of this? How do I step through that? How do I just surrender? And it is going through that process. You're the one that has to step through the door though. People can show you, they can try to explain it to you, they can try to share their experience of what it was like for them, but ultimately it's between you and you, or you and God, right? Is really what it is. And you're the one that has to step through that door. And when you do, then you make room inside yourself to receive the things that you're wanting the most. I remember talking with a client, I'll name him Jim for privacy, but I remember how much he was holding on to the pain of his wife's repeated affairs and repeated destructive behavior. She would just run off for a weekend, and would leave him and their two kids and not explain where she was going or when she was coming back. She kept saying, I need to go find myself, and did not want to work on the relationship with him, and said that he was too controlling and that he needed to let her go and all these things. And I remember that he was holding on so much to this relationship and wanting it so badly to work and wanting her to come back so much and to be there with him. And he realized that he was pretty controlling. He was trying to control her and control his kids and control their lives, because he had all of this fear inside of him about not being good enough and about ultimately being alone and being a failure. And so working with him on that deepest level, one thing I really love that Mark and I do here is we do work on the deep level, the root issues, not just the symptoms. Because if we only address the symptoms, what happens? Even if you fix that symptom, another one will come up and take its place until you heal that deeper root issue. So with him, looking at that deep root issue, that he was afraid of failing, he was afraid of not being good enough, he was afraid of being alone, and allowing him to release all that fear and to empower himself with the truth of who he really is, that he is good enough, that he doesn't need to worry about failure because it's all going to be okay no matter what. And he got to this place where he's like, I have this calmness inside of me that I can't explain. I can't put words to it. You guys showed me the way, but I stepped, like I said, like stepped through it, and now everything's different. And the way I see my children, the way I see my employees, because he was a business owner, the way that I see my wife, even as she's leaving and even as she's, you know, doing all these things, like nothing really on the external world has changed. She still wants out, she's still leaving, but because I'm seeing things different, now everything's changed. And there's a saying that says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And his wife did not come back. She did not make changes, but as far as like her wanting to leave, but they were able to work together as a team to have respect and have some healthy boundaries around the kids. And now that they are divorced, this was years ago, this is probably 5 years ago, he has now found an incredible woman and received that thing that he wanted the most, which was to feel valued, to feel loved, and to feel safe, to feel good enough, and to feel equally yoked in a relationship. And he now has found that relationship, and it's a beautiful thing. So when we let go of the thing that we want the most, then we create room to receive it into our life. Okay, just like when my daughter Naomi finally let go of squeezing onto the rabbit and holding on so tightly, then she was finally able to let go, and it was able to come back to her, and she was able to have a good experience with the rabbit and not, you know, kill it. So when we're filled with that kind of love and that kind of peace, there is no room for fear. There is no room for forcing things and trying to make them happen. There's no room for desperation. There's no room for a need to protect ourselves, because we already feel whole. We already know that we're like, everything's well, everything's whole. And we no longer have a desperation for anything, because it's already all inside of us. Everything that we really want is already all inside of us. You don't need to look to external circumstances to fill your inner emotional needs anymore. How many of us are doing that, right? How many times do we see that happening, and how many times have we done that ourselves, where we're looking for someone else to make us happy? We're looking for a thing to make us happy. So we're chasing after money or success or career or this new gadget, or, you know, like losing weight, and then I'll be happy. Then I'll feel calm inside. Then I'll feel confident. And that's not the way it works. When we do that, when we put our happiness on some external circumstance, it's like we're holding our happiness hostage, and we're saying, you can't come to me, and I'm not going to allow myself to have you, to have the peace, to have the healing, to have the joy, to have the security until this, this, and this happens. And then what happens is that those things may happen, this, this, and this. And then do you feel satisfied then, right? How many of us have ever accomplished a goal of losing the weight or getting the money or the promotion or getting this person to want to be with us? And then when it happens, we're kind of feeling like, that's it? I thought it would feel differently. I thought it would be like amazing. And it's just kind of like, eh, okay. Right? Because we're placing our happiness on something that will not ever give it to us. And so everything that we want is already inside of us. And when we finally acknowledge that and tap into that, instead of looking to other people to fix, other people to change themselves, or other people to make us feel better, or other people to do anything, or any external thing to do anything, we actually find it within us, and then the things we want come to us. It's completely different. It's a completely different way of living. And what happens is then, no matter what challenges come, because challenges still happen, right? We're still mortal, this is still our lives. But when those challenges and those storms come, then we are like the eye of the storm. We're like a rock and we cannot be moved. And you might be in the worst hellish storm of your life, but you know that you're okay. And you know that no matter what happens, it's all okay. And we no longer need to control it. We no longer need to try to force it. And we don't feel desperate about it. We have this incredible inner peace and serenity. So, you know, even since cancer, which is probably one of the hardest and most difficult challenges of my life, this past year has been incredibly difficult for personal reasons, and facing more levels of limiting beliefs and challenges and distance from Ben and all of these different things. But we have come out better and stronger because of those challenges. And that's what happens when we turn inside for the things that we want instead of looking outside. When we look outside, then we feel like a victim. The storm comes and we're just being tossed about and ripped apart, and life can rip us to shreds when we go about it that way. I know some of you can agree with that. I know some of you have felt that, and I felt it too. So the storms are gonna come. Are we gonna be the rock in the storm, or are we gonna be the victim to the storm? Are we gonna be empowered by the challenges of our life, or are we gonna feel like more of a victim and more disempowered, more drained, and less of who we really are? Are we gonna step forward and become who we are really meant to be, or are we gonna shrink and live in pain and regret the rest of our lives? That's the choice that each of us have. So that's the journey of radical surrender, of letting go of what we want so that we can have it all, of learning to let go of pain so that we can experience the joy and the happiness and the peace that is ours right now, even in the midst of the storm. That is the journey of this life. So what do you want? What do you really want? Where do you want to be 1 year from now? 5 years from now? 10 years from now? 30 years from now? How do you want to look back on this day at the end of your life? None of us know when that is. I mean, if anything has taught us about the last few years, is that none of us know how much time we have, right? And if we continue to focus on what we're focusing on right now, where will that get us, right? If we continue to focus on the pain, if we continue to focus on the betrayal, if we continue to focus on how they need to fix it and they need to make it right and they need to do all these things and they need to know how much it hurt me and all that, if you focus on that, where will it get you a year from now, 5 years from now? Where will you be at the end of your life if you continue to focus on those things, right? Then focus on what you want and what kind of thoughts do you need to have to get there, right? If you want to feel peace, you want to feel acceptance, you want to feel security, you want to feel passion, you want to feel creativity, right? Where do you want to be? Like, what do you want? What do you need to focus on to get there? You want to have this close, amazing, passionate relationship that feels secure and loving and safe and fulfilling to both of you. Well, what do you need to focus on to get there? Who do you need to become to receive that into your life? And then let it go. Surrender it so that it can come to you, right? I've said this many, many times, but life is short and time is precious. It's our most valuable gift, and we get to choose what we do with it. So I encourage you to take some time to think about where you want to be, who you really want to be, and take some time to listen to that infinite love that is there for all of us, and allow yourself to see that the things that you really want the most, they're already within you. And so seek them out and you will find them. All right. So hopefully that was helpful to you. And thank you for allowing me to share so openly and vulnerably about my experience, because life is completely changed and I am completely changed. And it is the most humbling, amazing, grateful thing that I could possibly share with the world. And that's what drives me and fuels me, is because so many of us are so stuck in this pain and in this fear and holding on so tightly or so desperately and trying to preserve ourselves and protect ourselves. And that just keeps us stuck in that fear and pain cycle. I almost said fain. That's fear and pain combined. I just made a new word, fain. We're so stuck in fain, right? And wanting to allow people the vision and the truth that we all can receive that joy and that peace and the healing now. So with that being said, time for our marriage mythbuster. The marriage mythbuster today, I love this one because I'm kind of guilty of it in the past, especially. But if my husband or wife really love me, they should know what I want, right? And Mark and I, we've talked about this one in different ways, in different little, you know, angles and things. But it really comes from that idea that my spouse should just be able to read my mind. That if you really loved me, then you should just know that that's not okay with me. You should just know that that would bother me. You would know that that's super offensive to me. Or you would know that I want you to bring me flowers every day on Friday. You would know that. Or you would know that when I'm doing dishes and you're sitting on the couch, that it makes me feel like you don't care about me, right? I thought that one, right? That's a real one in the past. And so we get into this myth, this trap, this misconception that our spouse should be able to read our mind and know everything about us, and that it's really clear to them that this bothers us or this hurts us. And the bottom line is that none of us can read the other person's mind. And I've even talked to, you know, couples in their 80s that have been married 50 years or even 60 years, and they still misunderstand each other. They still do not read each other's mind, even after all that time spent together. And so what it really comes down to is that if you're thinking you should just know that that bothered me, or of course you knew that bothered me, right? Be really mindful of that, because it's a misperception more often than not. And more often than not, they didn't know, right? More often than not, they were thinking about something completely different, or they thought they were even doing the right thing. They thought that maybe that was the thing that you really wanted. And so they're making efforts to try to do something that would help you, and they don't realize that it's not, right? And so really going through the PATH method, which PATH, the first one's perspective, is getting outside of our own perspective and striving to understand our partner's perspective, right? Then A, if we need to make some adjustment, then we need to communicate that, you know? If my husband wants to go and veg on the couch every single night while I'm still putting kids to bed and doing dishes and, you know, taking care of all the chores and all these things, and that makes me feel like really unappreciated, but I never say it, then the adjustment would be that I need to communicate that in a healthy, respectful way, right? With one of those I feel statements. We go through that in the coaching, right? But when you're relaxing on the couch and I'm still working, I feel like you don't really care about me, or I don't feel appreciated. So how can we work together on that so that we both feel loved and appreciated and both can have time to relax and enjoy at the end of the day, right? That would be a really good, healthy conversation to have there. And then we're going into T, tell a new story. And so I need to tell a new story about my spouse, because very often we'll have a little thing happen that's maybe not such a big thing, but we start to tell a little story about it. Okay, he's on the couch, he's on his phone, he's ignoring me, he doesn't care about me. Huh, that doesn't make me feel so good, right? So we don't bring that up, we don't talk about that, we don't address it, and then we build up another story the next day when he comes home late from work, and we build up another story the next day when it's the daughter's birthday and he's talking to his brother on the phone. And then we build up another story about this and how he doesn't care about me, he doesn't care about me, he doesn't care about me, until that becomes the story that we're telling ourselves. They don't care about me. And now at this point, we have all this evidence about why that's true, right? In reality, if we tell a new story and gain new evidence by working through those things, then we tell a new story. My husband does care about me. He does support me. He is loving, right? And I'm good and I'm safe and I'm loved even within myself, no matter what. That would be a great new story to tell, right? So we tell that new story of okay, when I gain perspective in my husband's where he's coming from, then I realize that, he wasn't really aware of my needs then, or he thought that he was, doing a good thing by helping serve his brother that was in a lot of need during the daughter's birthday party. And you start to gain the perspective that your story actually isn't true, that it's a misperception, it's a misunderstanding. So you start to tell a new story about them. Oh, look, he did this and he did that, and he showed up here and he's really trying. And, I see all the good in him. And so we tell that new story about him and the relationship, or her, right? And then H, hold out hope, right? We continue to work together on these things, and we continue to allow ourselves to have more trust, connection, and intimacy as we go about that. So, your husband, your wife, they do not always know what you want, even though they love you. Or even if that love's struggling right now, they still don't know what you want. And so do not fall into the trap of thinking that they should be a mind reader, and that if they really love you, then they should just know that that bothers you. No, if it bothers you, then with respect, you talk to them about it and you work these things out together, going through that path method. So if you would like more help with any of these things, with letting go of pain, with letting go of the fear, if you want to become like a client we talked about, like Jim, where you're holding on so desperately to the things that you want, to getting your husband or your wife back, and to feeling happy and secure, to feeling safe, to feeling valued and loved, then I encourage you to reach out to us, because that is what we do. Yeah, we help you with communication. Yeah, we help you teach skills that aren't taught. Yeah, all of those things are important and they're needed. But at the end of the day, it's about helping you become who you're really meant to be. So if that speaks to you and you really want some support during this hellish storm in your life, so that it can become something that allows you to become better and learn and grow as a person rather than feel like a victim and become more disempowered, that's what we do. And you can book a free call with us at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. I encourage you to do that. Again, this is the work that speaks to my soul, because I've been there and I know how challenging it is to let go of those programs, to let go of those self-defense mechanisms. But when you do, and you step into the truth of who you really are, and you find that everything you want is already in you, that is worth everything. So, appreciate you all. And next week, I believe we're going to have a client interview with you all, and Mark Johnston should be back with us. So, appreciate you all. And again, remember that life is short and time is precious. So, let's all make the most of it now.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.